This is Hans Scheil from the Finishing Well podcast. On Finishing Well, we help you make godly choices about Medicare, long-term care, and your money. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it, I can't hold it anymore.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
Who or what was your hope rope? Who or what was your hope rope? And by just picture for a second that you were on the Titanic that fateful night and you're plunged into the freezing water, and it's in the waters, you know, whatever it was, you know, 6 degrees, and you're trying to tread water and it's dark and people are screaming all around you and you have no hope. How long at that temperature would you think that you'd be able to tread water, right? And you see people going down and dying all around you. But now all of a sudden you see this boat and the boat's got a light on it and somebody's screaming, anybody need help? Well, at that point in time, I bet you'd be needy out loud. You're screaming, help, help, help. And they throw you a rope, but you got to swim or you got to tread water all this way in order to get to it. How much longer could you tread water now that you see that hope rope? That's the question today on Truth Talk Live. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and share your hope rope story. I'll give you mine, one of them. I actually have lots, but one of the ones that will always impact me just tremendously is I had in the year 2000 a brain abscess that had resulted in, they did a brain biopsy that they were afraid that my cancer had come back or something along those lines. And I'd had this inflammation in the meninges part of my brain. So they did this. And when they did, they put a titanium plate in there and it had a staph infection on it. And that staph infection grew like gangbusters and created an abscess in my brain. And it was right about this time of the year, 2000. And they needed to do emergency surgery and essentially crack open my head because of the pressure that was on it. And I was in pain like I have never, ever, ever experienced them all. I mean, it's just like, and I couldn't, everything they hit me with, nothing did anything. And it was just, and I've had a lot of pain in my life. So I'm going to tell you, this was painful. And all of a sudden, something happened with the surgery, with the room, with the operating room, and they couldn't get in. And so they rolled me over into like a holding room. They said, Mr. Dillmore, we're terribly, terribly sorry, but there's a problem with something inside that room. They got to get it straight before we get you in there. And you're just going to have to wait over there. And again, I was in, the kind of pain that could take you out. I mean, it was horrible. And as that was going on, you can imagine I didn't want to hear a sound. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to hear any light. I just had this unbelievable pain in my head. And I heard Ramona Sechrest came in. Ramona was in my Sunday school class and I knew who she was. And she said, Robbie, it's Ramona. And that's all she had to say to tell me that. And then she took hold of my hand. And I knew immediately. I mean, I will never, ever, ever forget at that moment, right, that this was from God. It was, clearly he had sent Ramona so that I could tread water, just that few more moments that it would take for me to get, in other words, I just knew this was God. And Robbie, hold on, I'm with you. I'm right here with you. And it was a moment, right, that God had sent her to be my hope rope. And there was this phenomenal study done by Dr. Kurt Richter in 1957. And there's a lot of urban legend about this story. So I decided to read it on myself because it has to do with these lab rats and them swimming in the water. as I promised my producer Nick that we would talk about rats, and so the hope rope idea it involves rats. So I want to read to you at the beginning of the paper that he wrote on this whole idea, and what the paper was entitled is on the phenomenon of sudden death in animals and man. And here it says, voodoo death, that is in the title of a paper published in 1942 by Walter Cannon, contains many instances of mysterious, sudden, apparent psychogenic death from all parts of the world. A Brazilian Indian condemned and sentenced by a so-called medicine man is helpless against his own emotional response to this pronouncement and dies within 24 hours. In Africa, a young man unknowingly eats the inviolably banned wild hen, and on discovery of his crime, he trembles and is overcome by fear and dies in 24 hours. In New Zealand, a Maori woman eats fruit that she only later learns has come from a tabooed place. Her chief has been profaned. By noon of the next day, she is dead. In Australia, a witch doctor points a bone at a man, and believing that nothing can save him, the map man rapidly sinks in spirits and prepares to die. He is saved only at the last moment when the witch doctor is forced to unbone him, whatever that meant, you know, to do that. And so this research led Dr. Richter to study these rats to see what would be the effect on, because he was dealing with lab rats in his regular, and he would find that as these, if you would catch these wild rats, which is what he was using, and he put them through this little black hole kind of thing in order to catch them. If they held him too long, the rats would die. Or if they put him in the water that he really wanted to test him with, he'd put him in this water, and within 15 minutes, they would succumb and die. And so he began to think that maybe the reason this was happening is the rats thought that there was no way out. And what he discovered was by training these rats, in other words, don't hold them too long before you let them go, and then hold them again and then let them go. So they realize just because they're being held, they're not going to continue to be held, and they lose hope and they quit dying. And then the ones that spent 15 minutes in the water and would succumb, he found that by rescuing them out of the water before they drowned at like 12 or 13 minutes and drying them off and giving them a little rat pep talk, I'm pretty sure that's how it went, Nick. He's like, you can do it. He put it back in the water. And next time they go like 45 minutes. And the next thing you know, he got these rats after he trained them, Nick, would you believe? 60 hours those little guys could tread water if they had hope. 60 hours if they had hope that they could be rescued. You see what the difference is between hope and no hope. So the question, what is your hope rope, or who might have been that for you in your life? I would love to hear your story. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. We got Glenn and Busman, all these folks. We need you. 866-348-7884. We'll be right back with a whole lot more. Truth Talk Live.
Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live today. Who or what was your hope rope? And we got Glenn is in Dayton, Ohio. He's called in at 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. We'd love to hear your story. Glenn's got a testimony for us. Glenn, you're on Truth Talk Live. Good afternoon.
Brother Robbie, have you ever heard of anybody being saved twice?
Well, I'm dying to hear the story. I know that.
I was too. I have run the Wright-Patterson Half Marathon in Dayton, Ohio, four times prior. And almost exactly 3 years ago, I was at the local gym and I was training for that marathon. I was running a 5K every single morning, 7 days a week, twice a day. So I was doing it in the morning and then in the afternoon, usually before work and after work. And then I would run a half marathon once a week. And I was working on my interval times to get it more competitive, as I just had missed the previous year of getting the free New York or Boston qualifier. Mm. So I was in the best physical shape of my life, had a nice six-pack going, ripped body. I was on the treadmill, came off the treadmill, felt totally fine, drank a bottle of water, felt sick to my stomach, and was like, oh, man, I don't feel good. And I leaned up against a little alcove right there by the water fountain. And the next thing I knew, there were people all around me. I had passed out, had a cardiac arrest on my feet, my head open. There was a lady that was another patron at the gym. She had just graduated from a local college nursing program 3 days prior. She ended up using a defibrillator. Now, this group of gyms, this family owned 17 of these gyms. That was the only one that had a defibrillator on site. They've spent a bunch of money now, and they all have defibrillators. There was a whole lot that day that the good Lord blessed to line up. And a lot of people say, wow, you're awful lucky. And I said, no, luck is very random, actually. It's like hitting the lottery. It's one in a trillion chances.
Right.
But blessing by the very definition is very customized and very personalized from God. But the second part to that is, I wasn't a Christian man when that happened. Mm. And my young son goes to a local Christian school, and they asked him one time, they said, Luke, what would you like to be when you're an adult? And of course, the kids say policeman, doctor, astronaut, all that stuff. And my boy said he wanted to be a preacher and a game warden. And they said, wow, that's a pretty big difference. And he said, no, not really. And they said, well, you're going to have to explain yourself because we don't get it. And he said, well, he said a game warden helps save animals and preachers help save people. And I took him out fishing one night, and he was very chatty. And I said, Luke, please be quiet. I said, because the more you talk, son, your voice and the vibration over top of the water seems to be spooking the fish, because the more you're talking, the fishing is getting slower. Now, it was probably pushing about midnight, and talk, and driving me nuts. And I was doing my best to be patient and understanding. But again, I had this cardiac arrest. I was still not a Christian man. That was still not enough. I was almost begging my son, be quiet, enjoy the time, enjoy this process. My boy says, Dad, I got one more thing I need to ask you. He said, we've been studying at the Christian school, and he said, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? Mm. It convicted me nearly clear out of my boots. He went stone cold silent after he had just piled the coals of conviction, just heaped them on my head. I would have given anything for the kid to keep talking so that we could have discussed anything else. Nope, he asked that one question, and it heaped the conviction on me so heavily for about 8 or 9 months. And I finally said yes and became baptized, but there was so much about the cardiac arrest. It was so close. In fact, when I went back to thank everyone that had helped rescue me and kind of save me in that instance, the local police officer in our town, he wouldn't even shake hands with me. He said, sir, he said, you're very lucky they were doing the laundry. He said, because I had asked for a white towel to cover you up. And he said, if I would have covered you up, legally, they can't do any more resuscitation.
So the
good Lord has blessed me over and over and over and over again when I certainly didn't deserve it. And even the cardiac, it's so scary to think about how many other folks are doing this nowadays. That was not enough to make me wake up and realize my dad was a Baptist preacher my whole life. I've always heard the word of God. And it's just one of those things to where I thought, someday. Well, I can tell you I was in the best physical shape of my life, never expecting for a second. I didn't have a heart attack. They said that my enzyme levels were low. I didn't have any blockages. And they said, that's actually the scarier part, sir. They said, the cardiologist said, you're a total puzzle. He said, I've had about 3 or 4 cases in my 40-year career to where we have no reason why you had this strange arrhythmia that caused the cardiac arrest. So I have a pacemaker defibrillator implant now, but I was in the best shape of my life. I was the most desperate, lifeless I have ever been. All these strangers were working to save me, and it still didn't wake me up. And when my boy asked me that magic question, when he did, I think about how heartbreaking it is, people that have abortion and give up their children. And, oh, Lord have mercy, I'm so thankful to the good Lord above. I was scared to be a dad the first time. He's the only kid that I have. And I thought, man, I hope I'm good enough. I hope that I can do the right things. I hope I can be patient and understanding and kind and loving enough. And, Lord, just I love to be outside. If you could just bless me with a young man that I can have things in common with, that I can get outside and do the hunting and fishing and shooting and things I love, Lord, I will be so blessed. And I told my son, I said, I don't know if preachers count the folks that they bring in to salvation, but if you ever become a preacher, Luke, I hope you count me as your number one. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for that young man.
Oh, yeah.
And it kills me to think about people that have abortions and turn their kids away. And we never know what folks miss or maybe a moment like that. But I will never in my lifetime forget. He was talkative, and I couldn't get him to quit. And then all of a sudden he said, Dad, I got one more thing that I need to ask you. And I said, what, Luke? What could it possibly be? What? Okay, I'm sorry, son, but ask me your question and let's be done. And he asked me that and went stone cold silent. And it just convicted me nearly clear out of my boots. I would have given anything if he'd have kept talking just so we could have got off that subject. And the longer we sat there, the longer I had to deal with that question and the huge amount of conviction.
Right.
That it,
the amazing thing about it to me, Glenn, is I've heard the story now that, you know, I probably trained, I don't know how many, I probably at least 1,000 car salesmen over my career. And getting people to be quiet after they ask a question is one of the most difficult things you can possibly do because salesmen naturally talk. But that's a miracle that he stopped right there. And
I'm very blessed.
So we got to go to a break. I'm so sorry. But what a story, man. You blessed me out of my socks. We need your story. 866-348-7884. Call us in with yours. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live, where today the question is, what or who was your hope rope? We talked about, like, if you were plunged into the icy waters of the Titanic, you know, and all of a sudden when you were just gasping for any last hope, all of a sudden you see a boat coming and they're throwing your rope. Who or what was that in your life? We would love your story. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And, of course, you know, I am Robbie, and so if you heard the first segment, we were talking about rats. And so immediately I started looking into rat dad jokes. And so when I think about dad jokes, I also think about my friend Buskman in Ohio. And since I got you right there, Buskman, are you with me?
I am with you, my fellow dad.
So, before we get into your story, which I'm anxious to hear your story, but we have to test your dad joke ability here. I got my friend Nick, too. So, you know, I got this dad joke I want to lay on you. So I actually have dad joke music, which makes me always feel better. So here you go.
Okay, play the dad joke music, Nick. And I've got a dad joke. Well, it's not really a dad joke this time, Brother Robbie, but I think you'll like the joke and all the truth talk.
It'll be good. It'll be good. So,
okay.
What do you call a rat that has reached enlightenment? Nick, what do you think?
Rat that has reached enlightenment.
Enlightenment, yeah. A rat that has reached enlightenment. That would be a Budapest.
Okay. I got that.
Oh, no. That's on level 5 for dadness.
Yeah, so
we got
there you go.
From 1 to 10. You can do better than that, Dad Robbie.
Oh, I have more. All right. Since you ask, right? Why are rat family portraits always so scattered? How about that one, Nick? You know, rat family portraits, I don't know how many you've seen, but they're always scattered. Do you know why?
Oh, I've got many of those rat families around. I'm going to let Nick answer that because I think I know the answer. I'm just kidding.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
When the rat picture taker says cheese, They all scatter.
Oh.
now you're doing better, Robbie. That's all right, another all right. Seven dadness for dadness. Yeah.
What you got for me, Busman? I know you got one of your own.
Okay, I have one. Okay, and I found this one, Brother Robbie, and I immediately thought of you because you're the Christian car guy.
All right.
So I've got actually two car jokes, but they're quick. I've got a wonderful story. And I gotta say, for Glenn, I'm just down the road from where that marathon takes off. That's a wonderful story.
It is.
Psalm 8, Brother Glenn. Read Psalm 8 out there in Ohio. God bless you, my fellow Daytonian. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Honey, I have good news and bad news about the car. Give me the good news first. The airbags work.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Okay, and here's my second one. Hey, Buskman, I'm sorry I couldn't fix the Buskmobile with the brakes. Oh, yeah? Why not? Were they messed up really that far? Well, they were beyond my pay scale, but don't worry, Buskman. Your horn is louder.
All right, I, since you're talking car ones, I have one for you today, too. Even without the music, I can do it. So how do you know when you're a bad driver? Do you have any idea how you know when you're a bad driver, Nick?
Red lights in my rearview mirror?
Now, that's one thing. Or Siri could say, in 400 feet, please turn, pull over, and let me out.
Not even Siri wants to be in the car with you.
Very good. So we're ready for your story. I'm very excited to hear that, actually, Busman.
I don't know if I can top Brother Glenn's, Robbie, but in fact, I'm not even going to try. That is such an awesome story about his son. And I got to say this, my son's name is Luke.
Really?
This is so weird. And remember I told you the story how God named him through that 10-year-old or that 8-year-old little boy?
Right.
Who didn't even know we were having a boy, but that little 8-year-old knew and said his name is Luke Andrew. And my wife and I named our firstborn son Luke Andrew. Yeah, remember that story, Robbie? Anyway, that was such an amazing story that Brother Glenn out there in Dayton gave the marathon runner. So God bless you. I hope your son Luke does become a pastor, brother. Okay, here's what happened to me, Truth Talk Live, and my brothers there at the studio. I was on my motorcycle, and I was approaching a four-way exchange, okay? One way takes you to 75 north. One way takes you to I-75 south. And I was approaching going under the bridge of I-75 here, very well close to where Glenn lives. And it's called Wagner Ford Road. So I was on my motorcycle, and something told me, Busman, slow down. And I was wearing my lime green shirt because I work for a landscape company. So I was wearing my lime green shirt, and I slow down. And the green light is still green. So I go ahead and go through the interchange. Well, the lady on the left, Robbie, motioned the little silver car that was going to turn left in front of me. She didn't see me coming up in her mirror, okay, on her right. So she motioned the left-hand turner to go ahead and make that turn before his light turned red. Well, as soon as he did, I slammed right into that silver car. And I was thrown over his hood, and I landed, praise God. Motorcyclists, I would never advocate through the law that you have to wear a helmet, but I'm going to tell you, as you're riding, motorcyclist brother, put a helmet on your head. Don't be stupid. And I hit the ground head first, Robbie. Now, I remember getting up just enough time to try to pull my bike out of that busy intersection because it was on 75.
No, I can imagine.
75.
Yeah.
And it's a very precarious interchange. And anyway, before I zone out and I wake up in the hospital, I think it was an angel, Truth Talk Live, because I didn't see her. But all I know is I remember hearing, sir, I got your phone. So this dear angel found my phone, picked it up and said, I've got the license plate number. are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm starting to doze out. And all of a sudden, the next thing I hear before I blank out was this prayer from heaven over me from this dear woman. And I think it was an angel. I couldn't see her. And it probably was a real lady, but I don't know for sure, guys. And she prayed this prayer over me that I started to cry. And I felt so secure in God's hands after that motorcycle crash. And I don't know who she was. I don't know what she was. But all I know is, Brother Robbie, Brother Nick, Busman is alive and well. I attribute a lot of my alive and wellness to that dear person, whatever it was, that prayed over me, asking God to heal me and to protect me.
Oh, you know, Busman, I'm trying to think of the man's last name. I know his first name is Bruce. And he was working on a truck, and the truck fell off the jack, and literally his ministry is called Sweet Bread Ministries because he was crushed right below his rib cage, completely, you know, wow, flattening him as flat as a pancake. And the way he describes his hope rope was the same kind of thing. There was a lady who was driving by, literally a brand new Christian. And since he was kind of an out of body, what he experienced, you know, was because he was in so much pain, he kind of came out of his body and he was sitting there looking over himself dying. And when this lady came to pray, he felt God take him back into his body.
Wow.
He wrote a book on it. I had him on a Christian Car Guy show three times. It's really a phenomenal story, but it was the same kind of thing that you're describing, that here's this person that seems to be, you know, unrelated, all of a sudden comes in and prays a prayer, and that ends up being the hope rope in so many different ways, because, you know, that's where our hope has stayed, right? That's just an amazing.
I absolutely believe. I remember I came to a little bit in the back of the ambulance, and they asked me cognitive questions like, who's the president? What's your name? Do you know where do you live and everything? And guys, I was able to answer all of those questions. And I just remember I was in a lot of pain, but that voice, that woman's voice, never left my memory banks, guys. And I was fully cognizant. I was alive. I was okay. I was in a lot of pain, but I was comforted, Robbie. I was comforted. And I capitalized that first letter C. I was comforted by God and his angelic beings.
Right.
To have been, Robbie. It was just so amazing.
Yeah. It's very similar to my Ramona Seacrest story. I know her name and I know all that, but I know who sent her. And I know the message is inevitable. It's ineligible, however you want to say it. It can't be erased from my mind that it'll
never leave my mind
there.
Unless God erases it when we go to heaven. Yeah.
So how cool. Well, we got to go to a break, but we need your story. This is your time to call in. Your hope rope, 866-348-7884.
God bless.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Today, what or who was your hope rope? You know, and you've heard some amazing stories. We haven't heard yours. 866-348-7884. 866-748-7884. No, it got me confused. 866-348-7884. Anyway, it's an amazing thing, like when you really think about it, and I told this story about how these little rats, when they were trained, that they would be rescued out of the little beaker, they could tread water for 60 hours. And the point I thought about is if you were plunged into the icy waters of the Titanic, and you wouldn't last very long, but if you saw a boat coming and somebody standing there with a rope, then all of a sudden you would become really needy out loud. I love that idea of being needy out loud, especially being needy out loud to Jesus. Help me, son of David, you know, that kind of thing. And there's a story in 2 Kings In fact, there's, I think, five different stories about the prophet Elisha. And they're absolutely amazing because they're all, in their own way, a showing of how Jesus would be when he came here. But there is a story where, first of all, there was a lady who was married, and she had not been able to have children, and her husband was old. And the story is a great deal like the story of Sarah and Abraham. And this woman is not coming forward to Elisha to tell him that she's barren, but instead she invites him to his house. She gives him some bread. She even sets him up a little room there. And Elisha keeps visiting. And finally, his servant explains to him that the lady really wants to have a child. And so he tells her, look, you know, this time next spring, which is like Easter this time, you're going to have a child. And so she had this hope. In this case, she never told the man of God what it was, but he came to her and said, this is going to happen. And she said, don't lie to me. Don't tell me something I can get my hopes up, right? But then she has that child. And amazingly and tragically, after he gets a little older, he goes out in the field. He has a horrible headache, and he's screaming to his dad, and he is told to go back to his mother. He lays on her knees for hours and then dies in her, on her lap. And at this point in time, the poor lady becomes needy out loud. In fact, when you read the story and look carefully, she said, I will run to the man who is in Gilgal. Well, you got a ways to go to get to him. And she gets there as quickly as she possibly can. And then if you look carefully, she falls at his feet and grabs his legs. And it, you know, you think about it, if you're going to grab somebody's legs, you're going to have to be falling down in order to be able to do that. And, you know, she has an explanation, you know, a discussion with Elisha about her son dying. And she says, she's holding on to him like they held on to Jesus's garment. I'm not letting go until you do something about my son. Now that is a great deal of faith and a lot of hope. And so when, and by the way, he lays on her son and actually raises her to life. But that faith, that hope, you know, when has that happened in your life? And how could we be that faith or hope rope for somebody else? A question I can't help but ask. But we got Mike is also in Ohio. Mike, you're on Truth Talk Live. You got a story for us.
Yeah, I love everybody else that called. That's awesome testimonies. And mine is real quick, if I can.
Please.
I was driving down the road, and I pulled into a driveway, and I forgot something at the job site, and I had to come, and I had to turn around and come back. And you know how preachers and everybody says, pray without ceasing and listen to your God. Well, at the time, I was kind of saying, God, I love you and thank you, and God said, don't pull out. And I said, what? And I look, there's no traffic. And I'm getting ready to pull out. And he says, God said, don't pull out. And I went, okay. I just, my heart is racing. And all of a sudden, this car comes out of nowhere. I mean, out of nowhere, going 100 and maybe 300 miles an hour. I mean, it was flying. If I would have pulled out, he would have T-boned me, and I would have lost my life. And it was an audible voice almost to say, don't pull out, you know. And by just listening to God and meditating on God, he told me not to pull out. And that's how good God is. And
the beautiful thing about it is, I think about it, Mike, is that you recognized it.
Yeah.
You obeyed it. But now you remembered it, right?
Yeah. It's putting pillars in your life. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a bunch of pillars that you need to say, this is why I trust God. This is why I trust God. God saved me. God healed me. God did this for me. God sent me this person. And you need to keep trusting God and believing in God and never going away from God, you know. And
yeah, I love, you know, in the book A Pilgrim's Progress, you might remember that Christian, the hero of the story, he keeps his testimony in his bosom, right? And it's there so that he can refer back to it, you know, whenever he needs it. In the second verse of 119 Psalm is one of the Beatitudes. Actually, it says, blessed is he who keeps his testimonies and seeks him with his whole heart. And it gives that idea that when you think of all the stories that we heard today, Mike, all these folks, they've got that testimony right there because it's their rope. You know, it's just like the little guys that are floating in the beaker have learned that they can be a chance of being saved. And what an amazing thing. We not only are saved like you described, you know, and I described, but even more importantly, you know, what Glenn described is being saved in order to spend eternity, right? Yeah. Enjoying all that we have. So, you know,
over my life, there's been many pillars in my life that I could say that, you know, God let me into his life, you know, saved me. And, you know, and we need to keep reminding ourselves of these pillars. And thank you for doing that. You know,
I am always blessed. And we got enough time, maybe, for one more person to call in, because again, your story, just like Mike's, could really encourage somebody. Thank you, Mike, so much for calling in.
God bless you.
Yeah. 866, the number to call. Just pick up your phone, pretty easy. 866-348-7884. You know, who was your hope rope, or when, you know, did somebody do that in your life? And it's just more than an honor, right? That you don't may be that person for somebody else when all of a sudden, you know, they're in desperate need and you throw up that prayer. And you're in that constant communication with God, and you've got that opportunity, you know. Even today, as I actually was with my friends at the nursing home, and we were doing a devotion. I said, you know, if somebody just sits down next to you and they look like, you know, they're having a bad day, you know, how hard is it to engage, ask them how they're doing, and maybe take that opportunity to pray with them. You know, sometimes it's just a little bit that makes all the difference in somebody else's life. And we can all, right? And someday they may come back to you and say, man, you'll never believe, you know, how much that encouraged me, or whatever the situation may be. In other words, opportunities showing up all the time to be somebody else's hope rope, because you know, I'm sure you do, all the people that sat down next to you when you were sitting there eating by yourself, or, you know, it came up to you in class when nobody else would talk to you, or, you know the situation when that happened, and all of a sudden you started to feel a little bit better about yourself, and it gave you time in order to, you know, like our little friends in the beaker, you know, tread water just that little bit longer, right? Because we're all kind of sojourners here, and we're kind of all in the beaker treading water. We need somebody to holler out and say, hey, your rescuer is coming, because, you know, they're difficult, difficult things. And also, you know, when you think about those stories in 2 Kings chapter 4, and it's just one of my favorite chapters, really is, in the Bible. If you look at all of them, always the man of God supplies some need, but there's always leftovers. Just like Jesus had leftovers after he fed the 5,000, he had leftovers after he fed the 4,000. In the 2 Kings chapter 4, you're going to find Elisha feeds the 100, which probably was more than that because he had women and children as well. But there were leftovers, and he even says, you know, the Lord says there'll always be leftovers. And it's kind of cool. When you give God, like, the hope to share with somebody else, there's always going to be leftovers, and he's going to multiply that into your life. It's going to be absolutely amazing, because, you know, he had us to give the best because he wants to multiply the best, right? If we gave him the blemished sheep or the begrudged offering, then we're going to reap, you know, we're going to get back all that he multiplies into, you know, a really bad herd of sheep, or we're going to end up with a really bad source of money because it was all begrudged, right? Because he wants to multiply what's best in your life, and then you get all the leftovers, right? And so when you give your time, that moment to encourage somebody else or share some light into their life, like we talked about last week, I mean, like we talked about yesterday with Dr. Carson, I mean, how fun is that? So let me just tell you, since I got a minute, that tomorrow's show is going to be really fun. We got Dr. Carson coming back. And he's going to be talking about, you may know 316 is coming up. Like, Saturday is 3:16, which, and that, as you might know, is a number of what a lot of people's favorite verse is, John 3:16. So we're making it National John 3:16 Day, and we're going to be talking all about that tomorrow on Truth Talk Live. And so I'm excited to share that with you and again, be able to take your calls and enjoy, you know, Dr. Carson and what he brings so wonderfully. So once again, so grateful and honored for all of you that tuned in. And those stories, I'm going to think about them all night. And what an amazing listeners that we have of the Truth Network. So thanks again. You guys have a great evening. We will check back in with you tomorrow. And in the meantime, remember, like I always say, slow down. Jesus walked everywhere he went and got it all done in 33 years.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.